What's next, part seven? What's next, part seven? So we're going to, again, stay on the subject of helper. Everybody say helper. Helper. And, of course, we're going to study the role and ministry of the helper. John chapter 16, verse 7. John chapter 16, verse 7. It says, however, I'm telling you nothing but the truth when I say that it is profitable, good, expedient, advantageous for you that I go away, because if I go not away, the comforter, the counselor, the helper, everybody say helper, helper, and we want to keep bringing that in your ears so that you never start thinking again that I'm helpless. Nobody's helping me. You have the mighty Holy Spirit, advocate, intercessor, strengthener, standby, will not come to you and into you, into close fellowship with you. But if I go away, I will send him to you to be in close fellowship with you. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Now let's say this out loud together. Let's say it. I confess that the Holy Spirit is my personal helper in every situation of life. And I want you to pause and just think about that. In every situation of life, he's your helper. He can help you cook if you have, that's a situation. He can help you straighten up your house if that's a situation. He can help you with a relational schism or situation. He's your helper. He can help you with the financial situation. Now say this with me. I listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit in every situation of life. And he speaks to my heart and mind and tells me precisely what I'm to say and what I'm to do. I am not helpless, confused, or caught off guard because the Holy Spirit lives within me and is my ever-present helper. With him inside me to guide me, I'm never at a loss for wisdom in critical moments. He is my helper, my teacher, my comforter, my advisor, and my guide. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit. All right, so we said a couple of weeks ago, and it's important for us to understand this. You can go to the next slide, guys. That the Holy Spirit helps us pray. Now, we want to invite you all again to spend a little extra time each day, each week, praying with the help of the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? Like we said in Romans 8:26, which is right up there, he helps you with your weaknesses. Now, he doesn't do it for you. He doesn't pray for you, but he helps you. Everybody say, he helps me. Now, let me read this 8:26. You got it there in the New King James, but let me read it out of the Amplified Bible. I'm going to try to, so you can see the screen. It says, so too the Holy Spirit comes to our aid and bears us up in our weaknesses. Everybody say, weakness. Now, we're going to define that in a minute because some people let that run off them. He says, for we do not know how to pray, what prayer to offer, or how to offer it worthily as we ought. But the Spirit himself goes to meet our supplication and pleads in our behalf with unspeakable yearnings and groanings too deep for utterance. Now listen to me, friends, family, brothers and sisters, saints of God, in here and online. As long as you live in this earth, let me underscore that, as long as you live in this earth, you're going to be saddled with a weakness. Now, what is it? What is it? The flesh and blood body you live in. Because when a situation comes up, the body wants to respond too quickly based on how it's feeling. You've been around people that you know they overreact emotionally and based on the feelings and based on what has just happened. oh my God, oh my God, and we would even tag the word drama. Because there's trauma, there's drama. They're acting up. They're elevated in their vocal cords. They're hyped up in your emotions. And you're operating off of the dictates of your flesh. Has anybody seen yourself or someone else respond that way? Okay, everybody. I just want to make sure everybody's in the room and not checked out already. The flesh and blood body, it's a body that's subjected to death. Now, if you've been with us on Wednesday night, we talked about carnal, meaning body rude or death doomed. This body of yours is subject to death. People have died already this year. We showed a little screenshot several months ago about the death rate. Every few seconds, somebody's hitting eternity. Well, that's because of this body. But sometimes the devil wants to train us, brothers and sisters, so well that we always succumb or yield to whatever this body's telling you to do. And my friends, my sisters and brothers, that is a weakness. Because the body, your body and my body, is a body that's subject to the physical world around us. What it sees, what it hears, what it feels, what it tastes. Amen? All those senses try to influence your body. Now, your newborn, recreated human spirit, your born-again spirit, doesn't want to sin, but your body does. And my friends, again, that's a weakness. So what happens? It means you need to build your spirit up to strengthen it, to stir it up, to stimulate your spirit into action. Now, your spirit's where? Inside of you. Unseen, it's the hidden man of the heart. It's the hidden person inside of you. You have to. So let me put it to you in simple military language. You got to put your spirit in charge. So when you pray and the Holy Spirit, we said the primary way that he helps you is praying in tongues. Why tongues? Why is tongues so important? Because you don't get help unless you let him help you. You give him permission and invite the Holy Spirit to help you when you pray in tongues. You go something like this. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for the Holy Spirit. I thank the Holy Spirit is the greater one. He lives on the inside of me. And your word says in 1 John 4:4 that I am of God, I am a child of God, and I overcome them. Meaning if you're dealing with demons or you're dealing with difficulties, if you're dealing with demons, if you're dealing with difficult circumstances, I overcome them because greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. So according to Romans 8:26, Holy Spirit, help me. Because my flesh wants to go the wrong way. But I know your will is me to do things the what? The right way. So I yield to you, Holy Spirit, right now to help me pray about this situation, in this situation, and receive victory in this situation. In Jesus' name, Satala Mahoto, Rana Kopania Soto, Rana Kopania Totokose Tele, Makola Mahade, Ni Sopala Mahata, because he gives you utterance. The Holy Spirit helps you pray. Somebody said, thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit. So we said the primary way he helps you is through tongues. Because what does tongues do? Remember? It helps bridge. It helped bridge this verse in the Carpenter's translation, verse 26, specifically. It says the Holy Spirit bridges the gaps between what has God provided and promised in the Spirit to what's going on right now in your natural present situation. So in other words, God's got victory in your future, but you became a victim in your presence, and you're victimized by your circumstances right now, but the Holy Spirit bridges the gap. He takes you from victim to victory. Well, how's he going to do it? You got to allow him to help you. He's going to help you pray. Whew. Hallelujah. So the weakness of your flesh causes you to fall prey to the temptations around you, brothers and sisters. Does that mean you're doomed to be a life failure until Jesus comes, that your flesh, that the flesh body is glorified like that? No, it means you need to build up your spirit up. You need to put your spirit in charge. So if we went around and did a poll or a survey and we asked all of you, how many times this past week from last Monday or even last Sunday through last yesterday, Saturday, how much did you put your spirit in charge? How much did you put your spirit in charge? Because that's where how he helps you. Now, we said this before, the Holy Spirit is a perfect gentleman. He's not going to bull rush you into allowing him to help you. He's not going to force you or make you ask him to help you. You have to ask, receive the help, and yield to the help. How does he do it? Praying in tongues. Praying in tongues. Shadanama sotola mahata. Kikalama hosi kita kana mahata. I'm getting some help right now. Come on, everybody, pray in the tongues in just a minute. If you can. If you can't, we'll help you in a minute. Now, God's commanded you to be more spiritual, you and I to be more spiritual than we can be in this year. And is giving you a way to overcome your weaknesses. What about a weakness when you get mad real quick? And you flamethrower everybody. Everybody just gets hosed down. Your mouth becomes something what you label as demonic. I cuss, fuss. I talk crazy. Maybe if you don't get wicked that way, but you get worried. Maybe you go through a situation of cycle of when a situation hits, I get anxious, I get worried so bad that now, you know, I can't keep from worrying. I'm stressed out. I'm carrying the cares of life like nobody's helping me. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. Amen. But God has given all of us the ability as Christians, the ability to pray in tongues. And then as we get to next week, we might not get to it this week, he'll help you fight and yield the sword of spirit. Now speak this scripture. Go to this scripture. Stand on this scripture. But you get the help once you start allowing the Holy Spirit to help you. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Now we got something to help you with. All right, Brother Lou, if you come. It's a little book called The Helper. What does it mean to be spirit-filled? If you don't have this, raise your hand. It's free of charge. Here. So just pass them around. I got a few more if you need some more. A couple more. Now, this book is for you to learn the importance and the necessity of the Holy Spirit. And that's the whole crux of this series and this teaching. The first of the year, you cannot and should not go through this year like you're helpless. Amen. Everybody say, Pastor, I'll at least look at it and try to read it. Okay, don't make me a promise that you don't keep. But, you know, put some skin in the game. Read through it. Because everybody needs to understand this concept of the Christian life, that you're not here just struggling. You're telling me, Pastor, let's keep it 100. The struggle is real. Well, I'm giving you 100. What's 100? You got help. And the primary way he helps you with your weaknesses of your flesh or not knowing what to or how to pray is the Holy Spirit. But most people ignore the third person of the Trinity because they think the Holy Spirit just visits me every once in a while when I get goosebumps or when I get happy in church. No, I'm talking about at the house, you're praying in tongues, washing the laundry, laying hands on your children or grandchildren's clothes. Lord, help me. Lord, help me be a godly influence in my family and in this front. Help me create an atmosphere of love in this house, an atmosphere where the glory of God and the power of God falls in this house. In Jesus' name. You get that? You know, like those of you that go to school. You pray in the Holy Ghost. God showed me this when going to people's houses for appointments. Pray in the Holy Ghost before I get there. And then while I'm there, before I go in, I stretch my hands and pray in tongues over that house. Why? Because I don't know who's in there. I command peace in that house. I command the power of God to fall in that house. And it happens every time. I'm not talking to you out of sight of my neck. I'm talking to you from experience. The Holy Spirit can help you with any and every situation of life. Glory to God. And some of us are not praying in tongues enough to tap into the power. I'm just going to let that settle there. All right, next slide, guys. Next slide. Thank you. Thank you. Everybody say, thank you, Lord, for helping me. Did everybody get a book that wanted one? There's a couple left. Now, don't be ashamed. If you need another one to give to a friend, you can give it. So it's good. It's a good deal. It's for you. Okay? All right, next one. So we said hearing the Holy Spirit. Now, last week we talked about the idea that he also helps us hear. The Holy Spirit is your supernatural hearing aids to things that are done in the Spirit. Why do you need to hear? Now look at my illustration. Look at my hands. So the spirit realm's up here. The natural realm where we live in is down here. Now the spirit realm, I'm showing you that to see the difference. Now we say it this way. When you understand spiritual things are priority, they are preeminent, they are positioned higher than the natural things. So in other words, in the spirit, you can override, overrun, overwhelm, and oversee the natural realm. Now, most Christians are so ambivalent to the things of the spirit because they're always caught up in the natural realm. And when you're in the natural realm or you're in your natural mind, you cannot comprehend the things of the spirit. But the Holy Spirit is trying to help us take us up higher so we can see clearer and hear clearer. All answers are in the Spirit. Everything you need is in the Spirit. All answers to your prayers are in the Spirit. There's no such thing as maybe, might be, should it be. When you get in the Spirit, answered prayer is guaranteed because we have a covenant with God. But what does the devil do? He fights you to keep you down here only. So you only look at things from this perspective down here. What am I feeling? What am I seeing going wrong down here? What's happening to me down here? We said it last week. If the devil can keep you in the reason realm or in the feeling realm, he'll whip you 100 times out of 100. And that's our fight. Our fight of faith is to stay in the spirit realm, this higher realm, this superior realm. Whew, I'm teaching better than y'all saying amen. This realm of God, the realm of glory. You know, why did Jesus say and mention when he was getting ready to go to the cross? He mentioned what? When they caught him up in the Garden of Gethsemane, do you not know I have 12 legions of angels that I can command? Now, based on the number, what one angel did to the Assyrians, 128,000 Assyrians in one night, the strength of an angel, 12 legions of angels would kill and annihilate over 13 billion people. Now, there's barely 8 billion people on the planet. So that means 12 legions of angels will wipe out everybody, including people coming next. But Jesus knew I had those angels at my command. Where are they? They can't see them, but they're in the spirit. You have angels that you can command. Where are they? Some of them are in this room. Can't see them. Can't hear them because your hearing comes in the spirit. Your clear hearing, your clear seeing happens where? In the spirit. I'm trying to stir you up to get in the spirit. Praise the Lord. Somebody say hallelujah. Glory to God. So I'm reading one of the verses. Revelation 2:7 is up there. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will eat of the tree of life and in the midst of the paradise of God. And so we said last week, God wants us to be a working church because he said in every church, I know your works. If you knew that you knew that you knew that Jesus knew your work, we all would be working better. We'd be working more diligently. Now, some people correlate work to a job, but God's not talking about your job or your vocation only. He's talking about the spiritual works that you have in the kingdom and in Christ. There's works. He knows your works. God doesn't want us to be lazy Christians, laughing around, goofing around. There's no unemployment in the body of Christ. It's just the refusal of Christians who go to work. They don't want to go to work. They say it's too cold, too hard, too heavy, too much of a trouble. I get the devil mad at me. So they don't work. There's a work of faith, the scripture says. That means we should be working with our faith on something. So if I asked or we did a poll, we said, what's your faith working on? That means what you're believing God for. What you're working on for God and with God. Amen. So God wants a working church. God wants a listening church. And God wants a overcoming church. He doesn't give you the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the feet shod with the preparation of God's peace, the helmet of salvation. Come on now. That spiritual armor for you to sit around at home and just flip through your remote or scroll through your social media account. He gives you that armor so you can fight and that you can win. We're not in a civilian organization. We are at war. Amen. So we said every Sunday, God sends you, and Wednesday sends you mail and messages. It's not email or snail mail. It's spirit mail. Check your mailbox. He that hath an ear, let him hear. So since Sunday, we all should be confessing regularly. I have ears to hear. Everybody say it with me. I have ears to hear. Now we said there's reasons why some people don't hear. And we'll get through these five and close. We talked about the first two. Number one was disrespecting and disregarding the law of hearing. In other words, we're not careful what we are hearing. Now, here's how you can really water it down. By thinking it's just another message. Now, there's a Chinese proverb. It's not a Bible verse, but it says the faintest of ink is better than the best of memory. When I closed my notebook, when I was an associate pastor and at a church in Baltimore when I was in the military, the Holy Spirit got on me. He said, "What are you doing?" I said, "Lord, you know, I've heard those scriptures before. I've heard that before." He said, "What are you doing?" But what he was trying to tell me and show me that I had become disrespectful or dishonoring in what I was hearing. He said to me, "Give me something to work with and allow me to help you see those truths at a different angle or a different light, to see it from a different perspective, to see it deeper and wider than where you're at." Because whenever we think we're arrived, we become self-deceived. So the principle is this. The degree of importance we place on the word we hear determines the quality and quantity of good and godly fruit we produce. And I noticed it. I stopped producing as much fruit because I didn't take heed or be careful what I was hearing. He told me, "You give more honor and more respect to your high school and college days in class, or when you're in a military school, when you took notes in the military school and highlighted stuff, you were more attentive then than you are in church." And God took that as disrespect or dishonor. He said, "You'll watch a football game for 3 hours," and I was, you know, really into football. I'm still like football, but really into football. You know, don't take a break, watching every play, going over the reruns. Then he said, "Then you'll watch the highlights afterwards and you'll watch the sports commentary afterwards." He said, "Why don't you give my word that much attention? That much focus?" The degree of what importance we put on the word we hear determines both the quantity and quality of the fruit we produce. So in other words, do we honor the word enough, like we do school homework or college classwork or laboratory work in college? Do we honor the word enough to say, "I'm taking these notes home and I'm getting before the Lord and the Holy Spirit and ask him to give me further understanding. I'm going to go home and study them. I'm going to go home and listen to it again." Number two, forgetful hearer. Being a forgetful hearer means James 1:22-25, he said, "Be a doer of the word and not a hearer only." Everybody say, "Hearer only." And in verse 25, it says, "He who looks in the perfect law of liberty and continues it and is not a forgetful hearer." Everybody say, "Don't be a forgetful hearer." They say that when you hear a message, if you don't do anything within the first 24 or 72 hours, by 72 hours, that message has evaporated from your memory. 72 hours from today would be Tuesday or Wednesday. Let's just say Tuesday, between Tuesday and, sometime between Tuesday and Wednesday. If you don't do anything, in other words, you don't touch it in your thought life, if you don't go back and review your notes, if you don't go back and meditate in the scriptures that you received, then it... That's a forgetful hearer. Everybody say a forgetful hearer. So what happens when the Holy Spirit instructed you to do something on Sunday morning? You forgot those instructions. And we said just forgotten instructions are dishonored instructions. And to dishonor means we don't value or place high esteem or importance or high worth on what we've been instructed by the Word and by the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit will emphasize something. So you might hear me speaking, but you really need to hear Him speaking to you, telling you what to do. That's why we say every time you come to these doors or whatever church we'll have now or in the future, who do I help? What do I learn? Now, learning means changing. It doesn't mean staying the same. Learning means change. I learn, I grow. Growth means I change. Are you listening to me? So dishonored instructions are lost change opportunities, growth opportunities, and fruit-producing opportunities. We lose growth, change, and fruit-producing opportunities because we dishonored instructions. We became a forgetful hearer or a hearer only. A hearer only is like going into class. Well, I'm not enrolled in this class because, like our Bible college, as an alumni and in the ministerial association, I can go back and sit in the class. But I have to go in as an auditor. I'm just going in to observe and check it out, check out the material. It's only instruction, information to me. It's not transformation to me. And some people come to church as an auditor. I'm coming to get information, but really we should be asking the Holy Spirit to help us with transformation. I'm hearing with attention to change, to grow, to produce fruit. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Y'all getting something out of this today? All right, number three, spiritual earwax. Yeah, right down here. Let me get out of the way. Thank you, guys. Spiritual earwax, James 1:21. He said, therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. The Greek word for filthiness has a moral connotation. Everybody say moral connotation. So, but it also describes earwax. So, in other words, sin is not just incompatible with receiving God's word. It prevents the word from reaching a person's heart. What's the objective of the word? You hear it, but then it gets down into your spirit. So in other words, we're supposed to hear the word and then welcome it into where? Our heart, so that we can do the word. Place number one, we got to hear it. We can't have spiritual earwax so built up to where we're muffled because there's sin or some moral code that we violated. And sin always deceives. It'll take you further than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you more than you want to pay. Sin always deceives. So it helps you become self-deluded. In other words, you got earwax. I'm not hearing the Holy Spirit says, live holy. I'm not hearing the Holy Spirit when he says, get this filth out of your life. I know the numbers. Praise God. I know what TV does and media does. They put that stuff up and use it as clickbait, and you click and click and click and you're clicking on stuff. And you shouldn't be looking and listening to that. You know, sometimes even Facebook becomes pornographic. YouTube becomes pornographic. But you got to make sure that you get that filled out. We all say, what can wash away your sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make you whole again? That's how you get the earwax out. Because everybody in this room, including everybody online, needs clear hearing. Clear, direct instructions from the Holy Spirit. Because he's your helper. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, reason number four. Next slide, guys. Next slide. Thank you. Thank you, guys. Appreciate you. Itching ears. Everybody say, itching ears. This is what keeps you from hearing. Itching ears. 2 Timothy 4:1-3. I'm reading out a New Living Translation. There it is up top. It says, I solemnly urge you. Now, this is really serious. In the presence of God and Jesus Christ. So he's saying, I'm in the presence of Jesus and I'm urging you, who will someday judge the living and the dead, and he comes to set up his kingdom. Preach the word and be prepared, whether it's time is favorable or not. Patiently correct, rebuke, and encourage people with all good teaching. That's what a good pastor does. Correction is, everybody say, correction is good. Correction yields direction, protection, and perfection. Some people don't like to be corrected. That's not a good thing, to not like to be corrected. So a pastor who corrects you loves you enough to correct you, because the Bible says whom the Lord loves, he corrects or disciplines or chastens. So sometimes you come in church, you should hear ouch coming from your lips. But you got to think and hear it as, this is good for me. This is good for me. Come on, y'all. I get direction now. I get protection, and I get perfection. That means I get to mature up, get to grow. That's a good thing, right? So we patiently correct, rebuke. Rebuke just means to call out things where we don't take it personally. We get to call out things and you don't take it personally. You don't walk out offended. Rebuke and encourage with all good teaching. For the time comes when people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching. They will follow their own desires and will look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear. This is when Christian people have fallen into the trap of hearing only what they want to, instead of accepting the whole counsel of God. They only want to listen to something pleasant or pleasing to their ears, not something that is unpleasant or painfully truthful to hear. Now remember, Jesus talked to the disciples. Back then it was 82. They had the 70 and they had the 12. It was 82. And he told them, that except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part in me. In other words, he was calling them up to a higher place of commitment. He wasn't talking about literal cannibalism. He wasn't talking about cannibalism. He was talking about literally, you need to commit on a higher level, submit on a higher level. Because they came back to 70 rejoicing. The devil's a subject of name. The power showed up. Jesus, woo, this is good. And then he went right around and said, you got to step it up. You got to come up to a higher level. Well, the 70 heard it, and what did they say? In John chapter 6, verse 60, he said, on hearing it, many of his disciples said, this is a hard teaching. Who can hear it? Who can accept it? They forsook Jesus, and they stopped following him as a disciple. Everybody say, that's not good. All right, reason number five. We're going to close. Dull of hearing. Dull of hearing. Everybody say, don't have itching ears. Yeah, my ear's scratchy? No. Don't be scratchy. Don't get in the trap of hearing your favorite preacher who preaches your favorite subject. That's basically being a little bit biased and prejudiced. You got to hear what the Spirit is saying. What's the Holy Spirit telling you? Because if you only let that favorite preacher talk to you, you can get off. You need the whole counsel of God. Somebody say, praise the Lord. All right, reason number five, dull of hearing. Hebrews 5:11. Of them whom we have have much to say and hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. Now, dull of hearing is a phrase that means sluggish or lethargic. In other words, people who do not longer try to understand and learn. How do we see that manifest? Don't read your Bible. Stop reading the books that you're privileged to get. Stop studying the subjects the Holy Spirit puts you in the training program with. He's your coach. Stop standing on the scriptures and meditating in scripture. Stop confessing the word. Stop praying in the spirit. Now, in the context, he said, you ought to have been teachers. You ought to have been grown up and been teachers. Now, Paul always said that about 3.5 to 4 years after being at a church. So in other words, he said, if you've been in the kingdom for 3.5, 4 years, you should have teaching skills developed. And you should have a want to share the things that you've learned and understand. But when we stop wanting or trying to learn and understand, it's because our ears get dull. We become people who don't want to learn, don't want to grow, don't want to develop, to become skillful to teach and skillful with the word. You know, in 4 years, we all should get to a place with the Holy Spirit help where you're teaching people how to operate in the power of agreement, in the prayer of agreement, in casting our cares on the Lord. Come on now. You should be skillful and understand how to use the power of God and use the name of Jesus in prayer or in warfare. You're unskillful when you can't handle the word or work the word and have the word work for you. Y'all good? Come on, let's stand to your feet. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father God. Woo! Thank you, Lord. We shouldn't be 10-year, 15-year Christians who still panic and get paranoid when a problem shows up. And you can't think. You don't know what to do. Get skillful in working the word. Get skillful in prayer. Where you can call the power down even if it's at your own house. Come on, lift your hands and thank God.